I'd like to introduce to you our guest speaker this morning. She was here this past weekend yesterday for our Transformational Women's Conference. And I know my wife Jan came home and just, you know, spoke raves about it. It was really wonderful. And for all of you who attended yesterday, heard the same thing from you guys. So I don't want to take any more of your time. Robin, come on up.
Shannon Alder is a famous poet, and she says, "Carve your name on hearts, not on tombstones." And she says that your legacy is etched in the minds and hearts of the people that share your life. And I think that's so true. I was thinking how perfectly Kristen set me up today, because I wanted to talk to you today about being the church, not just coming to church, but being the church. And how do you be the church? And one of those ways is to think about how do I invest in people around me? How do people remember me? Because this whole idea of legacy is not inheritance. It's not a piece of property or grandma's pearls or a set of golf clubs. It's not like that. It's what people remember about you. It's how you make them feel. Legacy is so much more than just stuff. It's the memory of an event with you, and it could be your strongest characteristics. It could be that you always wear pearls. It could be that you leave lipstick on every cheek you ever kiss. It could be that you have to mow the lawn on Wednesday and that you have to mow it on a diagonal, both ways. It could be that you never drive by a car that's stopped on the side of the road. Who are you to people who know you and to people who don't know you? And this is the thing, that no matter whether people know you very well or not, you kind of leave a legacy based on how you interact with them right now. So for example, Dave and I went to a funeral a couple years ago, and we hadn't seen these people for a long time. And it was before Jesus and I were pretty good friends, and so I was kind of naughty. And when I walked into the funeral parlor, this lady who came up to my navel scurries up to me and looks down at me through her bifocals. "Well, Robin, is that you? Goodness, well, it's nice to see that you made an appearance. One more scan." She said, "You look better. The last time I saw you, you had brown hair and your skirt was too short." You know, I was stuck in her mind like that. And she wasn't the only one who had a little commentary on my hair or my clothing before. But just as Dave and I were getting ready to leave, I heard my name once more. And honestly, by that time, I was feeling pretty much like a pincushion. And when I heard my name once more, I was like, "Oh, okay, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I turn around and I embrace this conversation with the last lady. And she says, "Robin, I'm so glad I caught you. I haven't seen you since you spoke at Elmbrook Church in Milwaukee. And I will never forget what you said about finding joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. Your story has helped me through many a difficult day." I mean, those women who judged the hair and the dress, and the woman who remembered me from an inspirational speech at a big church, were, you know, this is the legacy that I left behind. And so what I want to challenge you today is, how do you create a legacy? How do you be the church? How do you love people where they are and leave a good legacy? So my text is really a simple one. You probably all know it because the principle is super simple. Love God, love his people. Mark 12, 30, 31 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than this." Can I get an amen? Oh, thank you. Yeah. And I wish loving God and loving his people was easier. But I don't know about you, the people in my life are messy and needy And they require a lot from time to time, and kind of wish there was a formula. Like, I get a check mark on my permanent record, a gold star, if I am nice to somebody who's mean to me, or if I don't say everything that pops into my head, or if I write a thank you card. I want that checklist. But we have two tendencies. The tendency for most of us is that we want to do everything for everybody. We just take this commandment so seriously. I'm just going to be involved in everything, and I'm going to serve on every committee, and I'm going to do all the things. And we work and work and work and work and work until we're just like, done. And then what happens is that we swing to the other end of the pendulum, and we go, the Eeyore part, and that's, oh, well, doesn't matter. Nothing makes any difference. I'm not going to do anything. Anybody? Anybody? Okay. Well, I'm going to give you some ideas about how you can swing closer to the center and create a legacy for yourself of one that honors God and honors his people and loves God and loves his people. And how do we do that? Well, there's this word that I learned from a nurse friend of mine, and the word is potentiate. And I think it's such a fun word, potentiate. Would you like to try to say it? Potentiate, because you're going to want to remember this. There will be a quiz at the end. Potentiate is a medical term when you take one drug with another drug and the secondary drug enhances, accelerates, or makes... accelerates or enhances the effect of the first drug. So, for example, I worked for a dentist for 15 years, and if people had trouble getting numb, we would tell them, take ibuprofen before you come in because it'll make the Novocaine work faster and last longer. This is not medical advice, okay? This is just an example. But in terms of potentiating the love of God, what did he put in you? What gifts, what life experiences do you have that could potentiate the love of God to other people? Ephesians 3, 16 through 19 says that I pray out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that God may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in his love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide, long, high, and deep is the love of God. And to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness in God. So God roots you in his love, then he empowers you with his Spirit so that you can potentiate the love of God to others. So what did he potentiate? What did he put in you? Well, maybe you're a prayer. I met some women yesterday. They hadn't raised anybody from the dead yet, but they were be willing to give it a go. They were running the prayer room yesterday, and they were ready to do battle. They were on it. And I was so thrilled to hear how some of their stories of answered prayer. So maybe you're a person of prayer. Maybe somebody comes to you and says, I'm just not doing very well, and you stop right there, and you pray for them, and you pray for their circumstances, and you pray for their family. You have potentiated the love of God. Maybe you are a good listener. This lady right here has not taken her eyes off of me the whole time I've been up here. I've been walking over here. She walks me. She watched me. I come over here. She keeps her eyes on me. And one time when I said something interesting, she gave her man next to her just a little nudge. Go, did you hear that? Maybe you're a good listener. Maybe, you know, it's such a busy world and we're so distracted. When you have an eyeball-to-eyeball, fully present conversation with someone and you don't look over their shoulder for a better conversation or a better offer, it makes people feel so seen and so heard. It potentiates the love of God to them. Maybe you're a good baker. We experienced the potentiated love of God yesterday with some super good goodies yesterday. The worship was amazing. What's your name? Carol rocked the kingdom this morning. We do not get. I go to a drum church. Our church has a drum. And we do not get this kind of deep, beautiful hymn worship at my church. And she invites you, she potentiates the love of God to you just by doing something. Do you love this? Before I go there? And is it a hardship? I mean, do you get up this morning and think, oh my gosh, I have to go to church and play? No! No! See, Carol potentiates the love of God to you just by being, by using a gift and life experience that she has of worship. So what is it that God put in you that you can just keep your eyes and ears open? What is the Spirit asking you to say, do, invest in people or experiences that you could potentiate His love? How can you be the church in here and out there? Maybe you love other people's children. Maybe you carry a toy in your purse just in case. Maybe you're an inviter. I don't know. Is anybody here today because somebody invited them to church? Well, that's a problem. You could potentiate the love of God just by inviting them into something that you enjoy. Maybe it's church, but maybe it's a bowling league. Maybe it's volunteering at the library. Where do you find pleasure that you can invite somebody else into so that they would feel like your sign down there says we belong? We want people to belong. We potentiate the love of God so that people feel like they belong. They belong in our lives, and it makes them feel safe, and then they want more of Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay, so I go to a church, and it's full of single moms, and that's sort of our, you know how churches get certain bents, and our church just happens to be like the single mom church, and these have been naughty girls, and they are trying their best to do a better job, and there's a woman in our church named Lois, and she's a good hugger, and when Lois sees you coming, she extends the universal sign of come to me. And so you come forward, and as you approach Lois, she opens up her arms, and this is a universal sign for prepare to hug, right? This is come to me, I'm going to hug you, right? Am I right? You've seen this before. Is this news? Okay. And when you embrace her, when you come forward, she wraps you up, and she's like 6 feet tall and well padded, okay? So you get swallowed up in her hug, and it feels so good. And then it feels a little uncomfortable, and so you give her the universal sign for we're done here. You know that thing you do with your shoulders? And that's when she starts swinging and praising Jesus for you. Oh, Lord, I just love this girl. I just love this girl. And there's nothing you can do. There's no escaping that bosom. There, you just have to, like, just surrender to it because there is no escape. But when she lets you go, it feels like you have been loved. Now, she's never once done that to my husband, but she does it to women, and especially women who are trying to live a pure life, who have no physical touch. She potentiates the love of God just with a hug. I don't know. Are you starting to think how you can potentiate the love of God? Like, what do I like to do? What has God gifted me to do? What are some life experiences? Maybe you can help somebody balance a checkbook or bake chocolate chip cookies or raise their kids or help them figure out how to manspeak. You know, newlyweds, they could use some of us old girls and boys speaking some life into them. Listen, you're going to make it. You just, you know, if you wreck the car, you've got to feed him, you've got to pet him, you've got to then break the news. You know, we need to know these things, and you can do that by potentiating the love of God just by sharing your life experiences with him. I'll tell you one thing. I was so pleased that Patty potentiated the love of God by throwing that party yesterday. I mean, she caught a vision for something, And she decided that she wanted to try to create a space and a place for women to feel seen and heard and loved, and mission accomplished. Yesterday was a big success. 140 women from this church and from churches all over the area came, heard the word of God, did some ministry with Jesus, went home lighter, went home different than they came in. Maybe you've got a big vision for something at church, a children's ministry, a food pantry. I don't know. What is God calling you into that you could potentiate the love of God to others? And one thing I know for sure is that we can all be fun. Okay, one thing we can do to potentiate the love of God is to be fun. Jesus was fun. Say, Jesus was fun. I want to know it. Jesus was fun. He wrecked the funerals. He saved the weddings. Can you imagine sitting in a tree thinking you're going to just catch a glimpse of this man? And when Jesus walks by, he goes, Zacchaeus, party at your house today. Come on down, dude. Or Peter walking on, you know, seeing Jesus walking on the water and having Jesus say, yeah, come on, it's fun. Can you imagine even taking two steps on water? Wouldn't that stick with you for a while? How can we be fun? I'll tell you what, nobody is going to win anybody to the kingdom of God by being pinched, judgmental, disapproving. It just doesn't work that way. You have to love them in. You have to invite them in. You have to make them feel like they belong. And the way that we do that is by loving God and loving his people, using the gifts and talents that God put in us to potentiate God's love to them. Now, I have two boys, and whenever we did ministry at our house, we took the boys along, mostly to carry the heavy stuff, but also to experience the joy of serving the Lord. And one time I was taking meals to a woman at my office because she had just had a baby and she was not walking. She didn't know Jesus yet. And I thought, I'm just going to potentiate the love of God with lasagna. So I packed up my cooler and I put it in the car and I grabbed a kid and off we went. And we were almost out of gas. So we stopped at the gas station, and at one island, we were at one island, and while Eli was pumping gas, at the island next to me, there was just some commotion going on. There was an ancient car. It was not a classic. It was not an antique. It was just a beater of a car. There was a woman in the front seat who was Muslim. She had the scarf thing. And then there was a woman in the back seat, and she was handicapped. She was all crumpled up. And then there was another older woman pacing behind the back of this ancient car. And I thought, well, that is just askew. So I got out of my car and I went over there and I asked Lillian, who was pacing, what is going on? And I thought maybe she couldn't get the squeezy thing to work. And she said, no, I've got gas in my car. I just put $2 in it. I'm like, friend, when was the last time you put $2 in your car? I mean, you'd have to be pretty broke to only put $2 of gas in your car. So I said, okay, so it's not leaking and you can run the machine. And she goes, yeah, but I think my car is leaking. And I think, well, that would be a problem for everyone. And so I say, okay, by this time she's produced a receipt from her tattered bag for hundreds of dollars. She has just picked this car up from the auto mechanic and she has just had the gas tank replaced on this dumb old car. And now she thinks it's leaking. And I do not need to even pray about how to potentiate the love of God to this woman, because we are going to call that mechanic and we are going to make this right. So I take the receipt, I call the guy, and I say, look, we've got a little problem here. I explain what's going on, and he says, I can't imagine. I'll be on my way right now with a tow truck. And I said, yes, you will. I mean, I said that after I hung up. But I went back to Lillian, and she said, yeah, I'm the caretaker for these two women, and we just are in a pickle here. And I said, well, he's going to come back and he's going to fix this tow truck. Well, now there is some mad American Sign Language going on between Lillian and the woman, the Muslim woman in the front seat. And turns out the Muslim woman is asking Lillian, is that woman an angel? Which I get accused of all the time. But I say, no, I'm just a woman who loves Jesus, and it looked like you could use some help. And she goes, and Lillian says, oh, I love the Lord too, but, you know, not her. And so we get all squared away, and now Lillian says more signing, and Fatima wants to come home with, she doesn't want to wait for the tow truck. She wants me to take her home. And I think maybe she wants to see if I can fly or disappear or something, if she's testing this angel theory of hers. But I say, okay, I'll take you home. And as I'm pulling out of the driveway to the gas station, I look in my rearview mirror, and Lillian is still there with that handicapped woman. And I think, this is not good. I don't want her to have to deal with this tow truck driver. And so instead of taking Aunt Fatima home, I turn towards my house because I have two boys, and the oldest kid is a gearhead, and he's wrecking all his clothes with welding sparks and oil stains, and I think, well, maybe today this will be handy. So I drive towards my house. This does alarm Fatima just a trifle because she's like, she doesn't speak, and she's like tapping my thigh going, this way. I'm like, oh, it'll be fine. Okay, so we pull into my driveway. And the good news is that my oldest boy is home. He's half naked. He's out there mowing the lawn. And he's got a do-rag, long hair, dog collar, no shirt, tattoo, camel pants. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so bad. But it's too late. I'm committed. So I roll down my window and I go, Jake, come! Because my kids have been trained on the dog commands. And if you don't know what the dog commands are, it's go, stop, sit, stay, come. Good boy. So I call her, come, and Jake runs, and I say, I need you to go stand guard at this gas station, and he's on it. And so just about the time this Chinese fire drill is happening, Dave rolls in and takes control of the situation, as he often does, and we all go to the gas station. Dave waits for the tow truck. I take all the women home, drop off my meals, come back home and find out that it was just a clamp that wasn't tightened enough. There was indeed a leak. Dave and I pick up the car from the auto mechanic. We fill it with gas because we could. And we drive it home to them and drop it off. And they are so grateful, as you can imagine. We just potentiated the love of God the best we could. And that's a great illustration, but the best news of that story is 2 weeks after we did the car thing, I got a call from a friend of Fatima's who said, yes, my friend Fatima would like to know more about your Jesus. She says no Muslim would ever do what you did. And Fatima started coming over to my house every week, a couple times a week for months. I don't sign. She doesn't talk. I think I rewrote the book of John in a notebook for her. But I explained that there's a God in heaven who loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to pay the penalty for all sin for all time. And at the appointed time, he sacrificed his life on a cruel cross. And when he died, they put him in the grave where he was for 3 whole days. But the grave could not hold him. And at the appointed time, the Father raised him from the dead, throwing open the gates of heaven, and whomever would call on his name would be saved. And it did take a little bit, but Fatima did say yes to Jesus at great cost to herself. Her parents disowned her. Her brothers threatened to kill her. Her daughter, her sisters won't have anything to do with her. And we run into Fatima from time to time at the gas station. And years later, she is still following Jesus. This is the thing. You just never know what random act of kindness or what random thing you say or what random feel, what things that seem so simple to you might change the trajectory of someone's eternal destination. So today, I'm just asking you to take that love God and love his people just a little bit further. Step out of your comfort zone. Dip in, even when you think it might be a little messy or a little inconvenient, because God is using you to advance his kingdom and potentiate his love to others. Amen. Amen. Thank you.